Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. On Tuesday, October 8th, 2013, the eighth day of the government shutdown. Coming up, we'll ask historian Julian Zelizer if history suggests the Republican Party might actually disintegrate and become two parties over this, which could help create a new political center in the United States. But first, anyone listening who has ever rented out your apartment through Airbnb? If so, did you get one of those ominous emails from the company this week informing you that the state attorney general is seeking your records? How afraid should you be? Let's find out why thousands of New Yorkers received that email and look at the underlying issues. With me now is WNYC business editor Charlie Herman. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Brian.
And listeners, if you got that email because you've ever rented out your apartment through Airbnb, call in and talk about it or ask a question. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or anyone who feels you have a stake in the Airbnb issue as a neighbor, as a landlord, as a renter of somebody's apartment, 212-433-9692. Is it legal, Charlie, to rent out your apartment to tourists or other visitors and charge them for it?
Yeah, the first thing I have to say is that I'm not an attorney. And so I want to say that if you're really worried about whether or not you're in violation of state and city laws, you should really get professional advice. But from what we can see is that there was a law that was passed in 2010. It went into effect in 2011 by the state legislature that if you list an apartment and you are not there, if you list, let's say you have a one-bedroom apartment, you go away for a week and you rent it and you are not there, that you are in violation of the state law. Because of a recent decision that had happened where someone was fined over the use of Airbnb, what came out of that decision was that they found that he was not in violation of the law because his roommate was there. So if somebody who is an actual permanent resident in the apartment, in the unit, rents out, say, another, you know, a second bedroom or maybe the couch, that probably is not in violation of the state law as long as somebody who actually lives there is there.
They actually have to be there.
You have to be there.
Means a lot of people are technically in violation. Now, I've seen the email from Airbnb to its renting clients, and it says in part, quote, Airbnb has received a subpoena demanding personal information on all of our hosts in New York. At this point, this demand is unreasonably broad, and we will fight it with everything we've got. But we believe that the Attorney General is only seeking to target an incredibly small number of bad actors who abuse the Airbnb platform, unquote, the email from Airbnb to people who rented out their apartments through the company. So are they telling people to worry or not to worry?
You know, from a person who's familiar with the actual investigation, what this person said was that, you know, look, they're not looking to change the state law. It doesn't need to be changed. If you use Airbnb, you are supposed to comply with various different laws that exist at the state and local level. That includes paying hotel taxes if you actually rent out a room or do something like that. And what they're looking at in particular, though, is that the people who are these bad actors, say I own a couple of properties and I rent them out as illegal hotels, basically. Say I'm a landlord in a building and I've actually pushed out a lot of people because I can get more money from tourists coming in than I can from actual people signing a year lease as a rental. So that's what at least the indication is, that they're looking for that. It's a little confusing, though, because Airbnb says we don't want those people doing this either. That's not what we're about. We don't want these bad actors. So, you know, what you don't know is there some, you know, negotiation that's going on now between the Attorney General and Airbnb, and perhaps the Attorney General really had to get to this point of filing a subpoena to really try and get this information on Airbnb's clients.
And the source that WNYC has close to the investigation says as they look for information about property managers or brokers who are skirting the law by renting multiple units, or people who rent their primary unit for large amounts of time through the year, that they are not targeting the casual user who may rent their personal apartment out while they're on vacation or anything like that. So can the vast majority, assuming that's true about what the Attorney General's office is doing, can the vast majority of people who rent out their apartment, even if their roommate or somebody is not there at the same time, rest easy?
I think this is where you're in a little bit of legal limbo, because if the attorney general is looking at the bad actors, the reality is if you are violating the state law according to what it appears to be, which is that if you have a listing, you're not there, and you rent it out to somebody, that is in violation. Even if you only do it, say, 2 or 3 days total out of the year, theoretically, you're in violation of the state law. That's why Airbnb keeps saying that they are trying to work with legislators both at the city and state level to try and actually make New York City possibly a model for what they can do when it comes to being in compliance with laws, because you're really leaving the individual host. These are the people who open up their rooms, open to a legal limbo of possibly being prosecuted or fined. You may not have the attorney general going after you, but if your next door neighbor complains, you could get fined by the city.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with WNYC business editor Charlie Herman as we talk about this ominous sounding email that went out from Airbnb to thousands of New Yorkers who've ever rented out your apartment through Airbnb, saying the Attorney General of New York State is seeking your records, and we're unpacking what that actually means and who is threatened and whether they should be threatened. 212-433-WNYC is our phone number if this is relevant to you. 212-433-9692. And Scott in Borum Hill, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Scott.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So you rented with B&B as a renter, or did you rent out your apartment?
Oh, I rent out my apartment. I've been doing it for about 3 years now since Airbnb first came up.
When you say doing it for about 3 years, how frequently?
Well, during the summertime, almost every day. It's straight through the high tourist season in New York from April through about now, really.
Scott, do you stay in the apartment or do you leave altogether?
No, I stay here. It's a spare room. It's a small spare room at the back of my apartment. And, you know, I'm in Borum Hill, Brooklyn, and, you know, Brooklyn's all the rage now with all the Europeans, and so I have no problem renting out this small space.
Did you get this email?
I did, and it was a little shocking and upsetting for a couple reasons.
I think you're sort of in this limbo because you are there, so it sounds like you probably are not in violation of the law, but you're doing it a lot. So there may be, do you pop up onto the radar screen of the AG or others saying, wow, why is this person renting out this room a lot?
Right. That's exactly right. And I think what was most upsetting is I learned that we're supposed to be paying or charging an occupancy tax, which, you know, I never realized. And I felt that Airbnb should have at least let us know, or, you know, at least give us an option to have them charge that tax to renters.
For them to collect the tax.
Sorry?
For them to collect the tax.
That's right.
Well, the company, actually, the CEO, just about a week or two ago, came out and said that that Airbnb rentals should be subject to the local hotel occupancy tax. And that, so you know, works out to about $2 a day. It's 5.875% of the total rent of the room. And you also theoretically would be paying sales tax and federal income tax as well, too.
Scott, hang in there. Thanks for checking in with us. So to that point, when you say $2 a day, doesn't it depend how much you rent the room for?
There's a flat fee. From what I understand, there's a flat fee of $2 per day. And then if you rent it, say, at $100 a day, then you would also pay $5, basically almost $6 on top of that, too, as part of the rent, the tax.
So back to the Airbnb email, it addresses Scott's concern. It says, while our hosts are not hotels, we do think it makes sense for our community to pay applicable occupancy tax above certain thresholds, and we want to assist in streamlining this process. And I found that language very surprising because they're not advising people like Scott, okay, remember you have to pay the occupancy tax. It's like they're taking a political position. We do think it makes sense for our community to pay applicable occupancy tax. Why do you think they went there like that?
I think what you're seeing here is this young, scrappy startup company that was becoming very successful, that a lot of people started using. I think when the law was passed in 2010, there was probably very little recognition of what Airbnb was doing. And so now it's become incredibly popular in New York. You have a lot of people using it to help supplement their income, to be able to basically continue to stay in New York in many instances or make their rent. And now it's a much larger company. And what you're really starting to see is kind of this immovable object and irresistible force. You've got these entrenched interests in New York. You've got hotels. You've got laws that are on the book. And then you have this very disruptive force that's coming in. And Airbnb is a much larger company. It's, you know, it's in 34,000 cities around in almost 200 countries. So now it's a much bigger company, and it actually has to start working and complying with more laws. It can't sort of skirt under the radar the way that it did before.
Let's talk to another concerned New Yorker, Kirsten in Inwood. Kirsten, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
So you use B&B to make a little extra money?
Yep.
And did you get this email?
Yeah, and it is a concern. And speaking exactly to this tax issue, I understand the political aim that Airbnb is trying to not upset the entrenched hotel lobby that's here in New York and start them waging a war against Airbnb. But one, there's no, up until this email, I had never even known about this hotel tax situation.
Just like Scott in Boreham Hill. You heard him a minute ago. He was shocked to even discover that he might be responsible for this tax.
Exactly. And the thing is that we aren't hotels. This is my home, you know, and I actually do love that. I've traveled my entire life. I love the experience of having people come. I vet everyone who comes here. I'm here while they're there. This is an opening of my home. This is in no way a hotel experience. So I also have a bit of a personal feeling that I don't feel like that tax actually properly applies in this situation.
Right. So you disagree that it should apply. Kirsten, thank you. And again, to the wording of the email, hosts are not hotels. Our hosts are not hotels. But we do think it makes sense for our community to pay applicable occupancy tax above certain thresholds. Is it clear to you what the thresholds are?
I believe
maybe Kirsten and Scott don't have to pay it.
I think the threshold has to do with the income. I think they're looking at the income of the individuals or sort of making a suggestion that there may be some exemptions to paying it. But I don't think it's necessarily based on how much you are a community member sort of valuing what Kirsten is talking about, which, as an aside, is sort of what Airbnb is always arguing, which is that we're a community that comes together, introducing people, that there's a real social element to this, that it's not just a pure illegal hotel sort of scam that's going on. The reality is that it appears, at least the accusation is that they are, that it is being used like that by some individuals.
Also joining us now is Matt Chabot, who I want to bring in from the Daily News. He covers real estate there, and he first broke this story. Matt, welcome to WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good. And I want to stay on this email that Airbnb sent out to all these folks, like our first two callers who've rented out their apartments. After talking about the occupancy tax, it says, we want to work with the city to remove bad guests that are causing a disturbance to their neighbors, and we'll create a 24/7 neighbor hotline to service complaints. So on that point, Matt, you know, we once did a call-in on Airbnb before, and probably a third of the calls we got were from people saying, it's my apartment, I should be able to rent it if I please, not the government's business, like Kirsten just said. Another third said, I'm the landlord. That's my profit if I choose to make it, not my tenants who don't have the right to re-rent. And the other third was from neighbors who did not like strangers in their buildings, who had no stake in the safety or cleanliness of the place, treating their buildings as hotels. Now, we heard Kirsten say that she vets the people who come and stay in her place. But how much is that last group, the neighbors, who are concerned about this parade of strangers in some cases, driving the Airbnb policy debate?
Well, if you talk to the politicians who wrote the law in 2010, folks like State Senator Liz Krueger, she says, you know, this is not some big hotel lobby conspiracy, that this is indeed being driven by her constituents and, you know, neighbors that complain. And also, there's a big issue, too, with, you know, supposedly you have an 8-unit of rent control building, you kick everybody out, you live in one unit and turn the place into an illegal hotel, basically. You know, definitely talking to a number of my coworkers, in fact, who live, especially it seems to be prevalent in Manhattan, you know, they've got some neighbors who maybe work for a bank overseas or something, and they're always in and out. And when they're not home, they've taken to renting it out through Airbnb, you know, to help cover the rent when they're away. So here I think it's definitely a concern.
I would also add to that that a lot of buildings that you live in, for example, if you own in a co-op or you rent, there are often rules on the book at the co-op level, at the building level, that do not allow you to do short-term rentals. So even if maybe you're in compliance with the state law, that because you stay there and you're only renting out a second room, you may be in violation of the building rule. And there was an incident that I saw reported of a couple in the Upper West Side being sued by their co-op board for having done this.
And here, I think, is one of those concerned neighbors, Kim in Bedford-Stuyvesant. Hi, Kim. You're on WNYC.
Hi. I had first a question. Like my landlords, they own the brownstone that I live in, and they have moved out of the country, and they've turned their space into an Airbnb. And I'm curious about the legality of that. And they also, the woman who manages it for them, runs several properties that are purely Airbnb properties throughout Brooklyn. So she is taking rentals off the market. But I'm more curious about, like, my situation. I love Airbnb when I use it, but now living in a space that every other day I have to deal with a new dynamic, I don't love it.
What happens with this new dynamic that you don't like?
Last Tuesday, they had a group that stayed here, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, they're in the backyard with a party. And my bedroom looks right out on the backyard. And I don't feel 100% comfortable in my own home anymore.
So
people are coming and going. I don't know who's upstairs. They have access to, like, the common area of my space. I can't use the yard because there's strangers out there. And when I moved in here, I moved in because the landlords lived upstairs.
Huh.
And yeah, it's Bed-Stuy, but I like the security of knowing the people upstairs.
And now it is like having a mini hotel upstairs.
Absolutely. And it's constantly being rented.
I think that's the exact issue that the concern on the part of the politicians and those people who are in charge of enforcing the law is what that does to the actual community of having people come in and out. If it actually is becoming a hotel like that, like you said, it's taking a rental property off the market. You could argue that those people could just as easily rent it out for a year and there'd be some stability there in your neighbors. But by sort of constantly having a turnover like that and not paying taxes, it does have an impact on the city's economy in terms of money that it's bringing in through taxes and quality of life issues.
And one other thing, Matt, before we wrap this up, Airbnb thinks they need a law to protect them and the people who rent out through them. That was in the email that went around. But our source close to the investigation says the attorney general thinks no new law is needed. What's the issue there about an additional law?
Well, the AG's office is arguing, according to the people I've spoken with, that the law works fine as it is. You know, they're already obligated to pay taxes. I guess they're not entirely clear what Airbnb sees as a solution here. And I don't know if the caller's on the line. I mean, I'd be curious to get her thoughts. Does she see a way that this could work? You know, I spoke with a woman for a story we did about people renting their places out for the Super Bowl, and one woman in Jersey City, and not even like the hip part of Jersey City, said that she could rent her place out for 10 days a month and make as much as running it out for the whole month to a tenant, you know, and which is $1,500 a month. So
in fact, that caller is gone, but let me put on Ricardo in Park Slope, who may have a relevant comment here. Hi, Ricardo.
Hi, Brian. I'm just calling because I had a horrible experience recently in Park Slope. I rented an apartment for September, not the entire month, and I really couldn't inspect the apartment before I paid. After I paid, I went to see the apartment, and it was very shoddy. And once a family member was staying there, you know, nothing worked. The doorknobs were falling off of the doors. There were no windows in it, and there were huge French doors that I couldn't open.
Huh. And I have to leave it there because we're running out of time. But this is the buyer's perspective, the person who's renting through Airbnb for
buyer beware.
Yeah. So I, you know, and that whole set of issues, Matt, hasn't even come up in this whole discussion. This is just about the person who's renting out the apartment and their responsibility, right?
Right. Right. Exactly. And you know, there's this whole ongoing debate. You know, are there really that many of these bad actors out there? The Airbnb folks seem to say no. It's only maybe 50 or 100, which is who the AG says he wants to publicize.
And what's the recourse for somebody like Ricardo, who doesn't get what's advertised?
Well, at least with Airbnb, they have a pretty good policy of renter, you know, or B&Ber doesn't get the owner doesn't get paid until the person checks out. And so they can immediately file a complaint with the company. You know, it's more an issue, I think, perhaps with Craigslist, which is one of the reasons I think Airbnb has gotten so popular. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked with a guy who's been doing this for 15 years, and he used to use the Village Voice, and then he used Craigslist,
sure.
And he's now moved on to Airbnb,
right.
You know, as the technology gets better, because he actually feels like he can vet the people
yeah.
who come through a lot better.
So I want to close the loop on one thing, because the first few callers had the same concern. These are people who have rented out their apartments through Airbnb, had no idea that they had to pay tax on the income that they were getting until it was mentioned in this email from the company. Are people suddenly going to have to start calculating and paying tax to the government for their Airbnb income as a result of this little dust-up, Matt?
Well, it's hard to say at this point. From the folks I've talked to at Airbnb, it almost sounds like, you know, it would be more like a VAT tax like they have in Europe, where they just bake it into the price of the rooms. You know, maybe rooms would go up $2 or $3 or $20
And
more.
That's what our callers wanted. This goes back on the company, that the company, as part of their fee, should be taking out that tax and don't leave it on some individual to collect from some other individual. Charlie, a last word?
But this may be very similar to what we saw with Amazon and other online purchasing, where you theoretically were to pay the sales tax, even if the item that you got didn't have the sales tax included by the online company. When you did your income taxes, you were supposed to acknowledge that. So they may be easier for Airbnb to sort of say, well, we'll leave it up to the individual to do it.
Just as if you sell tickets through StubHub or
exactly.
stuff on eBay, they'll send you an email if you sold a certain amount that says, hey, don't forget
you have to pay on you.
Income tax on this. All right. WNYC business editor Charlie Herbin, Matt Chabon, real estate reporter for the Daily News. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And thanks, Brian.
Good luck to all of you out there who deal with Airbnb-related situations one way or another. Coming up next, Day 8 of the government shutdown, we will ask historian Julian Zelizer from Princeton if history suggests that the Republican Party might actually disintegrate and become two parties, which could help create a new political center. Stay with us.